Tape 5, side 2.
So yeah. Then, as I say, at Rochester, Karen met a young man named Paul Ayers. That's A-Y-A-R-S, unusual spelling. Mm-hmm. And they were married. Paul, I think, left Rochester and joined the service in the Army Security Program. And that was at the time they decided to be married. And they were married here in Pittsburgh in Hines Chapel.
Do you know when?
Mm-hmm.
What year?
It was around 19. Let's see. I'm not sure. I think it was about 1968 in there, 67. I think she graduated from Ellis in 65. And she was a junior, I think, at Rochester when they were married. And then he went to Vietnam shortly thereafter. And she went back and completed her course and got her degree.
At
Rochester.
In what though? Not after. What was her degree in?
I am not sure. I'm not sure. I think probably English, but I'm not sure. She later, when he got out of the service, they stayed in California, and he went to the University of California at Santa Cruz. He got very little credit for his work at Rochester. I don't know exactly why. So he almost had to start from scratch. He was a whiz at math. He'd gotten a scholarship to the University of Rochester because he was 800 in his SAT. And he was offered a scholarship at MIT. But the best one was for Rochester, and he needed that. His family was from a small town in southern Jersey. And his father was in a very modest job, a very modest income. And so he needed the best scholarship he could get. And Rochester was the one that offered it, and that's why he went there. And I don't think that he felt that he was making as much headway as he wanted at Rochester, and that's why he joined the security program. I think I told you
Did I tell you
the story about his getting to his wedding?
No.
Well, it is sort of an amusing story. They decided to be married. And we had all the plans, and we were going to be married at Hines Chapel, and a reception at the Concordia Club afterwards, and everything was set. And he was at Fort Devens, Massachusetts, and you know, they were taking courses. They had a big snowstorm at Devens on Monday, and I think it lasted into Tuesday, and classes were canceled. So the man in charge of the school said, we're going to have school through the weekend. Well, he thought he was going to get off Friday and come into Pittsburgh in time for to be married. And he was sort of desperate. And he called up Maxine, I guess, talked to him. And she just about was beside herself because she had all these plans and the invitations were out, the ushers and all the flowers and everything. Oh, she was just... So she called at the office and said, Paul isn't going to be able to be here for the wedding. I said, oh, come on now. She told me what had happened. I said, oh, well, I'll see what I can do. So I called some of the editorial people in and I said, I gave them the situation. I said, what would you do in circumstances like this? They said, well, the best thing probably is to call the Washington office. And they say, Senator Schweiker is on the Military Affairs Committee. And so we ought to make an appeal to Schweiker's office to see whether what they could do to get Paul Ayers released from class. Well, I didn't know what was going on at all. I mean, I knew their general plan. That night, we get a call from the airport. Paul Ayers is at the airport.
Really? That quickly?
That quickly. And his description of Brigadier Generals running around Fort Devon saying, where's this, who is this private Ayers? Get him out of here. You know, it's amazing.
Okay.
The power of somebody on one of those committees is absolutely remarkable. I never realized this until this situation. Now, I'm sure Schweiker never knew anything about it. One of his aides handled it, called up and said, this is Schweiker's office. You know, we got to get Ayers released. Wow, amazing. Anyway, it was an education in what how the American government runs. So anyway, he got here. But meantime, Maxine had even though he was there, that his ushers, who were mostly people at the school with him, would never make it. So she had made arrangements. Our neighbors were a family named Moriarty. They had 15 children. And she made arrangements with some of the older boys in that family to be substitute ushers. And they were very nice about it, and they said, sure, we'll do it. And then, of course, the next day, all these ushers arrived from Devon. I don't know how they got off, because certainly I didn't do anything. We didn't do anything about that. But apparently when Ayers got off, and they were able to. So we had a double set of ushers for that wedding. It was really a fantastic experience.
Oh, it's such an exciting event at best, yeah, without any complications.
Maxine, I thought, would collapse. She was beside herself with all the things that went on. But anyway, it all worked out quite well, and it was a...
Where are they living?
Well, they're divorced, unfortunately. They were married for close to 20 years, I think, and divorced about 89, something like that, 88 or 89. So the marriage was either 68 or 69. Karen has since remarried a man named Johnesy, J-O-H-N-E-S-E, pronounced Johnesy. Daniel, first name Daniel. Now, with Paul Ayers, she had a daughter, Emily, who will be a sophomore at Bard College this fall, up in along the Hudson at Annandale, I think it is, on the Hudson, between Poughkeepsie and Albany. Very good school. Small liberal arts co-ed school. And their son, who was 16, just had his 16th birthday here in Pittsburgh. He visited us for the last 10 days. And he is 16, 6 foot two, with a size 13 shoe.
Oh, God.
Let me tell you, my wife said that she hasn't seen food disappear out of the refrigerator that fast because the two of us couldn't consume that in a week. She said I kept replenishing.
He's a growing boy.
He's a growing boy, right?
His name is what?
His name is Brian. Brian Ayers. Very nice kid. I wanted to show him Pittsburgh, so I really got around. I had not been to the science center.
It's marvelous.
Since the opening. I was there, you know, shortly after the opening, and I hadn't been back. So I took him there, and we took him to a baseball game, and I took him out to Heartwood Acres, where the ballet had a few demonstrations one night, a few short pieces from some of their major ballets. And I took him to the Frick Museum, and he was at the Carnegie Museum, and we went to the zoo last Sunday. So we got around.
Yeah. He saw.
He got around, and he made me get around. Our zoo has really become a very good
marvelous
place.
Yes.
It really is.
Yeah. Yes, I'm very proud of it.
Yeah.
And I love our aviary.
Well, now that's one thing, you know, I didn't take him to, and I meant to.
Wonderful.
I haven't been to it in some time. I didn't go to the Phipps either. Those are two things that I would like to see continue here. I don't know whether all of these institutions can make it as private institutions. It's going to be very difficult.
We have to play it by ear.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll get that tax.
The regional tax.
Regional tax.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. But you know how people resist taxes? You could just see it in this vote.
4.3 cents, and it's upsetting people.
Yeah. Our story says it would average about $33 a person. $33 a year.
But it buys so much.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't understand. But when you think of it, you probably remember that before World War I, they had passed the draft, you remember, and that was for a year. And then they went back to extend the draft, and it only won by one vote. And that was, you know, shortly before Pearl Harbor. It only won by one vote in the House. So, you know, we have great difficulty in this country in passing anything that means any kind of sacrifice. What else would you like to know?
Time
that
took care of her children.
Hmm?
That took care of her children.
Yeah, Karen.
Okay,
now your next daughter.
Oh, Barbara has a daughter, Erin.
What's her name now, Barbara? Married to?
Barbara is married to a man named Michael Burney, B-U-R-N-E-Y.
Before we leave, first of all, Mr. Ayer did what before we come to Mr. Jonassy? What was his line of work?
Paul Ayers?
Yes.
He joined us in the newspaper business. In editorial, and he was news editor of the Post Gazette for a while, and then we gave him an opportunity to go out to Monterey, and that's how they got out to California, and in the paper in Monterey that we owned at the time.
All right, and now Mr. Jonassy?
Mr. Jonassy has a line of activity that I'm not quite sure I can describe, but it has something to do with second mortgages As I understand it, a lot of people in California especially, and in the, on the West Coast generally, when they go to sell a piece of property, can't always get the price that they want without accepting part of the financing, part of the cost themselves, taking a second mortgage, the seller taking a second mortgage. Then the seller wants to pass that second mortgage on to someone else. And that's, he seems to be in the, as a middleman in helping people to get rid of those second mortgages. I don't quite understand it.
It's lucrative.
Is it? Well, apparently they're doing all right. And our daughter, incidentally, I forgot to tell you that Karen, after she got out of Rochester and when they were married here in Pittsburgh, she went to the University of Pittsburgh and got a degree in teaching the deaf. And then she also got a degree in social work. So she has her master's in social work, and she also has a specialty teaching the deaf.
And your second daughter?
And when they left Monterey, when she and Daniel left Monterey, and they are now in the state of Washington, they're living in a town just across the Columbia River from Portland, Oregon, and they're. And the reason they moved there was that she got a job with the county as the assistant head of mental health. Well, much to my amazement, she apparently she didn't like the people, the person she had to work for, and she resigned. And she's joined Daniel in this other business, and you say it's lucrative. Apparently, the two of them working together are doing very well with it. So, that's apparently a situation. Barbara is not working. Her education was, she's our actress, our singer, the one who's inherited Maxine's talents in the theatrical field and then dance and acting. Maxine never was in acting, but Barb has been. And when she got out of Ellis, she went to the Syracuse University. They have a good theatrical program. She stayed 2 years, I think, at Syracuse. And trying to think where. Anyway, she got married.
Who did she marry?
She married a fellow named Smith, who was a professor, and I think taught her a course or something like that. Anyway, they were married. And he had a job in Omaha, filling in for a year for a professor who was on leave. And then, after that year, he had another fill-in. I'm trying to think where now. I don't remember exactly, but. They were living in, she had a daughter, Erin, when they were living in Estes Park, Colorado. Well, that marriage broke up.
His first name was?
Bill.
Bill.
Yeah. That marriage broke up, and she moved. I'm a little bit confused about the timing of all these things, but she moved to near Los Angeles, where there are four colleges together, Mudd and Pomona College. There are about four colleges that are in a group there. I forget what they are called as a group. But anyway, she was living there and doing a certain amount of acting and voiceover work in Los Angeles. And she met a young man who ran the theater for the four colleges. He was the administrator of the theater, doing various things there, and they were married there. And they have a son who's now about seven, whose name is Benjamin Burney. And I call him Big Ben. And, he's a nice and bright kid. Aaron is somewhat troubled because it's this terrible business about divorced parents and yes. Which parent do you get along with best and all that. She seems torn with all that. I think that she's somewhat of a troubled young woman, but hopefully it'll all work out all right. So that, then Donald lives in Pittsburgh. I think we've gone over that.
Yes.
And he heads up the Greater Pittsburgh Literacy Program.
Right.
He has a wife, Mary, and a daughter, Laura, who is six. And that takes care of the children.
Now, we have to get back to your wife, Maxine.
Yes.
Now, she's been busy raising four children. And what other involvement has she had in the community?
She's been on the Symphony Women's Committee over the years and at the Carnegie. But she's a very private person. And has not really enjoyed a lot of committee work. That doesn't really interest her a great deal. And she likes to read, and she likes to travel, and she likes to go to plays and things like that. She's interested in things like that. She never seems to have really been a very ardent committee worker. Oh, she was active in Planned Parenthood, but that's some years ago. And she was president of the local Pittsburgh Planned Parenthood, oh, I would say 25 years ago. She's always been interested in Planned Parenthood.
Has she ever done anything further with her music?
No. No. After we were married, she dropped that. She didn't want to carry that on. That was something she, I guess, felt had been sort of foisted on her. Although I think she had a lot of natural talent for it. Nevertheless, I think she felt that this was something that was forced on her because of her father's desire to make ends meet and use the family for that purpose. And it has not been something that she wanted to continue. Oh, I have to say that she did a little singing in Concordia Club shows years ago. They used to have some kind of a show once a year, and she did that, you know, on a very informal basis.
Do you still belong to the Concordia Club?
No, I don't think we do anymore. And it's mostly because it's just an eating club and too much food. Too much eating. I joined the PAA in order to exercise.
They have a pool.
And a pool. And That was good. Although, of course, the Jewish Community Center has a good pool, too.
It's a wonderful facility.
Hmm?
It's a wonderful facility.
Yes. You know, it's a fine facility.
Does she have any hobbies of any sort?
Well, she's a great double-crossing expert. Mm-hmm. And she likes to play gin rummy. Mostly we play together. We play cribbage some. But she's a person who's liked to have a rather private life. I can't begrudge her that.
Oh.
And she's very, of course, devoted to her offspring.
How about you? Any hobbies? Did you play tennis or golf or anything like
that? No, I don't play. I used to play golf years ago, but I found it took so much time. And I once played tennis, but I didn't take it up again. So I really don't have it. I do a lot of walking. And I go up to the Shenley Oval and I walk frequently on weekends. I took my grandson over to the Highland Park Reservoir. We walked around it.
It's a pretty walk.
Oh, I love it.
Yes.
I think it's great. I enjoy walking. And I'm not much of a golf. I do like to swim. And we have an apartment in Sarasota, and there's a pool there. So we like to use that when we're there.
Where in Sarasota?
We're on the mainland now. We were, for a long time, we had a small apartment on Siesta Key. And then when it looked as if I was going to take more time off, Maxine thought that apartment was a little small, but she didn't think she could stand me being down there that long in that small apartment. So we started to look around for something else, and she decided that as long as we were going to change, she wanted to get off the Keys and not worry about hurricanes and that sort of thing. So we're on the mainland, but looking on the edge of the bay, looking out to the bay. We look west to Longboat Key. And she loves this apartment, and it's a little bigger apartment than we had on Siesta Key. It had a little more space.
And with the grandchildren coming to visit, you need the space.
Yeah. So we are, you know, we are ready in case they come in on us. It's a little hard for the grandchildren in California. It's a pretty long trip and a pretty expensive trip. But there are places where they can stay if they come with their parents and so forth. Which over on Lido Beach, there are quite a few motels and the places, but you have to plan in advance.
About your social life? Do you carry on an extensive social life with a lot of friends and things?
I would say limited. But over the years, I spent a good deal of my time working. And I would say the social life was, we've had, you know, a social life, but it's not a terribly active social life of, you know, being out every night and that sort of thing. I couldn't do that. I don't have the energy for that.
But you say you go to the symphonies on Friday nights.
Oh, yes.
And you theater, Pittsburgh Public, which others?
Well, we attend a lot of things. I buy tickets for almost everything.
Yeah.
The ballet, the opera, Pittsburgh Public Theater.
Hmm? The Chamber Music Group?
No, I haven't. I haven't done that.
You're missing.
Yes, I know that.
Something.
I know
really
it's excellent.
I think it's the best music in Pittsburgh.
We ought to do that.
That plus the Y recitals.
That's what, like, Monday nights, isn't it?
I still like the chamber music best.
Is Monday nights?
And I belong to all of them.
Yeah.
Chamber music is fabulous.
Yeah. We sponsor chamber music in Toledo. We sponsor a series there.
Hmm.
And but I haven't attended chamber music in Pittsburgh very much.
Now, colleagues in the city, what has been your relationship with? You were friendly with Dave Lawrence and people of that ilk down the years.
Well, I've known a lot of them, and most of them, I would say, were casual friends, not intimate friends. As a newspaper man, I always was pretty careful how I arranged these associations, and I didn't too close.
End of side two, take five.
I knew a lot of the corporate people in town. Not today, most of them are gone.